Welcome to the Point After Show with Kyle Maurer, Marshall Heslaw, and Ian DeWitt. This is the show where the guys attempt to pick the winners of the weekly NFL games, along with some healthy debate about current topics. Let's go.
Cheers.
Raise a glass, as they say.
Toast. Raise a glass for all of us.
Yeah, There we go. Episode, whatever episode this is, I don't know at this point.
Week five.
Cinco, episodo.
De Mayo.
The Cinco 2nd of October we're recording. Yeah, we just watched week four. We witnessed week four, and the final game of week four is going on right now, the Monday night game. Chargers, Raiders.
Chargers winning 21-0, in case you didn't know.
Go Chargers.
If you guys are watching the game at halftime, like most of you do on Monday night, you know, you watch the game, you have it TiVo'd, and then you listen to our podcast during the game. We'll keep you updated on the score.
Yeah.
Before we get started, big question. Halloween's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Which NFL quarterback would you most want to go trick-or-treating with?
Go trick-or-treating with?
Who would be the most fun?
Gardner Minshew.
Wow.
That's a great answer.
You know, on Levitard Show, they say Sam Bradford looks like a kid dressed as Sam Bradford for Halloween, so that's a really good one, too.
I like the idea of going trick-or-treating with Baker Mayfield. He seems like a fun kind of guy.
I want to hang out. I want him to be my friend.
Baker Mayfield, though.
Baker Mayfield, great choice.
He's sexy.
Yeah, today's going to be a unique pod recording. I'm already calling it right now. But I definitely think I'd pick that big fat quarterback who ended up going for the CFL. Can't think of his name off the top of my head, but a close second.
Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, that's right.
Really close. Really close. But I think I'd probably go with Carson Wentz. Just based on him being a ginger, I feel like he would run from door to door and get more candy. I think he'd be willing to know the places that give out the full
size. He strikes me as kind of a goon. I don't know why.
Sure.
Just kind of a goon.
You know what they say about gingers.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, on to the big news.
We have some gingers that watch, listen to this.
Oh, we love Ginger Lives Matter. Right. Let's get to our biggest news of the week. Kyle, you want to start us off with your biggest news of the week?
You want me to start? You want me to go first?
Bring on the rain.
Trying to throw things off kilter.
I appreciate
Keep
that.
Keep you guessing.
Yeah, we don't want this show to be predictable. Come on.
Heaven forbid.
Ditch the formula. Okay, I'm going to come out and say it. I gotta be frank with everybody. I gotta be real. I gotta lay it all out there. Nice. I love the Cardinals.
Oh, that Bona.
Yeah, for Arizona.
Woo.
Yep. They are my new favorite team. I told you guys, they're for real. I've said a few stupid things on this show that have proven groundless. You know, I thought I was so smart, but my Cardinals hype is the one thing I'm standing by. They are an incredible team. They do not get talked about enough. I love watching Kyler Murray more than any other player in the league. He's incredible. The man is nonstop. You know, that offense is possibly the most well-balanced in the NFL. You have two legendary wide receivers, Green and Hopkins, a pair of bulldozers with Edmonds and Connor in the backfield, and the best quarterback in the league so far this season. Fight me. Cliff Kingsbury has got it made. This guy doesn't need to do anything. He just gets to sit back and watch. Don't even know if he has to show up to the games anymore because you could call any play and Kyler's going to make it work. It must be nice to have K. Murray on your side.
Love it.
Yeah. So my current status is elated about their success, but a little irritated that so much of the conversation across the league is about everything but the Cardinals, which has been the case all the way up to this point, except the occasional comparison to last year where Kyler, of course, tapered off just a little bit. But this team has earned the spotlight. They made a powerful statement yesterday. It's got me jazzed. This team is going far. Just you wait.
Gentlemen of the jury, I'm curious. Bear with me. Are you aware that we're making history? I like the love for the Cardinals, but I will say this is a team you got to wait and see on, and I just have a hard time pushing them. Especially when last year he had such a great team. I don't know if he's a quarterback that's able to play a whole season healthy. So give him the credit for what he's doing right now. Can't take that away, but there's time that he's going to need to build this up. He doesn't have the history or experience of being a quarterback that's lasted all season, especially with the way he plays.
Yeah, and they have some real big games coming up. I mean, that win against the Rams was fantastic for them, but they got, I mean, let alone their division is going to be tough to win. I think they could definitely do it if they keep playing the way they do, but they got Cleveland coming up. They got Green Bay, further down the line. And then, you know, they have the mighty Detroit is also on but they got a pretty, like, there's some teams in there that could give them some trouble. I would definitely put them in the category of certainly playoff caliber. They're definitely going to be in the playoffs.
And thank you to the Rams and Cardinals for hitting the over of 56, which was Ooh. 55 was the over under. And thank you for hitting 56.
They did it. I don't know what gamblers. This team has got to do for people to believe in them. I don't know what they've what do they have to do?
I think they got to keep it up. They got to be consistent. I think that's the problem with any team like the Cardinals or I think like the Browns and the Ravens on the other side of the on the AFC. That you just need to be consistent. They need to keep doing it, and then that just continues to speak for themselves. And then they got to keep going in the playoffs.
All right, so, they got to win the Super Bowl, Kyle.
Yeah, they have to win everything.
No, they got to win a playoff game.
They got to win a play before we can like start talking about them like the way that we talk about all the other freaking teams.
Their head coach was 5 games below 500 in the Big 12. All right, I'm not going to sit here and say that, and I'm not going to anoint him a great coach until he wins a playoff game. I'm sorry.
He had college success. He had
five games under 500.
Some of the best quarterbacks that ever played. And, I mean.
Ever?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the next news.
Come on, he coached Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Well, who's
he had one good quarterback. Well, give me some more.
He coached Johnny Manziel.
There's another team. Marshall, you were going to talk about another team, though, that I would also put the Cardinals in line with this team. Well, who
and
are
I'm
you
okay
talk
with
about?
That. You know, my biggest news of the week is America's team. I'm going to say it every week.
We're going to talk about the Steelers.
I'm talking about my Cowboys. Hashtag my Cowboys. I think they're for real. Love them or hate them, they're real. They beat a good defense previous to this week. That defense was shutting teams down. And Darnold, shout out to Michael Vick Darnold, had more rushing touchdowns than any player, quarterback, or running back at the end of yesterday. If you had that as a bet, like, please tell me who's winning the Super Bowl. But I'll just tell you, Dak and company, they looked balanced. They looked precise. And the defense came up big when they needed. Yeah, they had some points up on the board, but they came up and I thought that they played well in the last quarter and a half and solidified why they're going to take that weak division. They're going to have a home playoff game, mm-hmm. and they're most likely mm-hmm. going to win.
Yeah, I agree. I said this, I think, on an earlier episode where I said, Dak, I think I didn't give him enough credit. I think Dak is a lot better than I gave him credit for, and I think that showed when he was gone last year. And I do think this team has the potential to really show it that I think they're going to win their division. Their division's terrible. But I kind of made a note on here that just like the Cardinals, I think this is another team that I think I need to just have a bigger sample size of before I'm ready to kind of get on the train. And the Cowboys have the benefit of a fairly easy schedule moving forward until they hit about week 11 when they face the Chiefs. Now
that's true.
They're playing some pretty weak teams, so I would hope by they get to that point that they're really cruising. So when they hit to the Chiefs, because I think the Chiefs are struggling, but I don't know where they're going to be at by week 11. So
it's just interesting to say that we're gonna wait to see on how they're doing until week 11 when they play the 2-2 Chiefs. That's a sentence I wasn't thinking that I would say 4 weeks into the season. Yeah. So
right,
but I'm okay. I think the difference between my perspective and yours, Kyle, is that you feel like the Cardinals are entitled to this best team in football label and that they don't have to earn it going like they should be given this right now. And I think the Cowboys could be labeled as one of the best teams in the NFL, but I'm okay with waiting until the playoffs to prove it.
Yeah, I have a hard time labeling any team other than teams that have already proven themselves. I think about the Packers. And they have Aaron Rodgers. That is a ultra-consistent team. They're almost – how many times have they been in the NFC Championship game?
The last two years.
Yeah.
And then – I mean, a lot. They've lost more NFC Championship games probably than anybody.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them back there. That Green Bay Packers team is cruising right now. I think the Rams are also – they're kind of a prove-it team to me still as well, but I think there's going to be stiff competition there. The Cardinals, I think you have – on the other side, you have – the Chiefs, I think there are three teams that I would say, yeah, I can reliably count on you being good, which is the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, and any team that has Tom Brady on it, because I think they are just always, those are my three elite quarterbacks anyways. So that's where I stand.
Okay. And, you know, opposite of elite, we had some upset wins, Ian. That was some of the biggest news that you talked about, along with the coach. That's your least favorite person
in the world. I did. So I think a shout-out's got to go to those New Yorkers. They got their first W's over there, right, which with some surprising wins. I was really surprised that they were able to beat the Titans and the Saints.
I mean, anytime they win this season, it's
a huge surprise.
I don't know if you saw the videos of New York after the New York Knicks won a game in the playoffs. Oh, my Lord. I can only imagine what their streets were like after two wins and a Yankees walk-off.
And they were both in OT. So neither of these two New Yorker teams could win normally. They had to take it to overtime.
Free football.
And then the Colts won as well. But I think that was more of expected. But then, of course, you have the other side. You have two teams that are still losing. You have the Lions and you have the Jags. I know. I really don't want to talk about the Lions. I think they're just a depressing team right now. They have a long way to prove before.
They're not acting depressed.
They're not, and I like Campbell, but I think they're not going to be good this year, and I think that's we're just going to have to put them into a
box. This rock bottom?
No. I mean, if they go 0-17, then we can talk about rock bottom.
I mean, like, it can get worse than, like, three trips straight to the red zone to start the game with 0 points.
That was bad. I want Goff to be better than he is because he's kind of like an outcast, and I kind of like that about him. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to talk about the Lions. I want to talk about the Jags.
Do it.
Because they felt like they were so close to winning that game against Cincinnati. I thought they were going to do it. I was really hyped for them. And then they kind of fell apart. And, they lost, and they looked competitive the last 2 weeks. But the person I think that I really want to talk about is Urban Meyer. Because this dude's just, I don't know about Urban Meyer. He's had some press conferences that are just kind of weird with some of the things he's saying. He's talking about, you know, every team's like playing Alabama. You know, he goes and loses this game and he's trying to rally people. And they've lost 19 straight games as a Jaguar franchise. And he's talking about how heartbreaking that is. And I'm like, I don't know. You don't really need to. You're 0-4. No one expected you to be good. You know, he's talking about his head is spinning. And I just think that this is a guy who doesn't know how to lose and doesn't know how to face adversity. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that needs a coach to rally behind and to pull them out of this culture of losing. Because I think you have teams like the Lions and the Jags who have a losing culture. And you need someone to get you out of it, to push you in a new direction. And I don't know if Urban Meyer's the guy, because the last time he had any sort of adversity, he cut and run with the Gators and was like, I'm 9-5, I can't do this. That was the last time he went, I think he lost four games in a row, was with the Gators, and he was gone at the end of the season. So I don't know if he knows how to do this, and I just think this transition is a lot harder. I think he's finding that out. I think he's in over his head. And then he goes and has this stupid Twitter video come out when he's got this blonde chick grinding up on him in a bar after the game at some point. I don't know when it was.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
It's just ridiculous.
Saucy.
Urban Meyer needs to get his shit together.
This guy. Yeah. I mean, that stuff aside, and I love the juxtaposition of these two winless teams. The only two winless teams, there's a clear difference. They both have new coaches, and their demeanor and their handling of the team's situation could not be more different.
Yeah, I would agree.
100%. It's so striking to watch how Dan Campbell is handling the Lions, and there seems to still be a positive attitude and some optimism about the future, and a team that is still energized to go and try again next Sunday and look forward to the future. And the Jags, that's like, we don't know what's happening. Urban Meyer, maybe it's just him. Yeah. It seems so frazzled. Can't deal with this. It's, I don't know. Just the two compared to each other is amazing to watch.
It's hard to know what's going on in the locker room too. I mean, we don't know what he's saying. We just know what he's saying in his press conferences and when he's mic'd up. But I can't imagine. I mean, if that's what visually we're seeing is him struggling to get a grip on what it's like being on a losing team, I can't imagine he's exuding a whole bunch more confidence. I don't know, but...
Agreed. And I'll be surprised if he makes it the year.
That's a bold statement.
I just don't see it happening, especially with now the turmoil he's obviously caused himself. And his family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I look at it and say he's now got turmoil inside his office and he's got turmoil inside his family. For a guy that quits teams based on having a headache, I just don't see whether he's going to stay or not. So I'll be very interested to see if he stays. But more, something I want to talk about more is that I think that NFL coaches and franchises are more likely to get coaches that they feel like are gurus, the quarterback whisperers. And this is one of the few times I feel like they took someone who they wanted to be a CEO of their NFL organization. I just don't think that works out in the NFL. I think you can hire a mercenary like Urban Meyer to run your college program. You know, the Jim Trussells, the Urban Meyers, you name it. And that can work.
Sure.
The Chip Kellys. Mm-hmm. It's tough to do in the NFL. You're not picking the recruits and going in their living room and promising them a bright future. You're drafting.
Yeah. You're not
it's a different ballgame.
You're not getting the cream of the crop.
You know, based on the news that we talked about, I think it's important for us to talk to the people. Talk to the people out there hitting us up at Point After NFL. Let's start with your friend Adam Silver, hashtag the commish.
All right, the commish is keeping us talking about the Niners every week. Here are his comments after the game. The Niners lost to the Seahawks yesterday. And here's what the commish had to say. First half, once again, 49ers defense was on fire. I think Jimmy G is feeling the pressure of Trey Lance in the wings, thus stepping up. He started strong. Hurry up offense looked great. A few trick plays, getting free from pressure. Sadly, didn't convert for points. Love the variety of receivers and runners. Love seeing Russell Wilson getting sacked. And punter's first try for field goal missed by that much. Ouch. First Seahawks touchdown. He did not break the plane. Lame no call. Reverse. Okay, so there's a take. I didn't see that play, actually. Second half. Lance in. Jimmy G out. Fingers crossed. In my opinion, I think Lance, needs more time to learn the pace of the game. Typical 49ers. Defense wins and loses the game. Seahawks came out. Took over. Special teams hurt us. Trey Lance can scramble, which is nice. Okay, so a lot of stuff on the Seahawks here. Really just disagreeing with a call about a touchdown. It could have been the difference in the game. I don't know. You guys have any commentary?
Yeah, I definitely think it's interesting. Seattle's one of those teams I feel like that is the any given Sunday team. They can be great 1 week and just awful the following week.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what Seattle Seahawk team I'm getting every week when I make my picks. And that was kind of interesting for how they played the Niners. Honestly, I know Jimmy G got hurt. I'm glad they put Trey Lance in. I'm glad to get him some experience against, honestly, a team that's defense isn't that great, but played good, well yesterday.
That's fair. Yeah.
I like Jimmy G more than Trey Lance currently.
Yeah. I would still kind of lean on Jimmy G. I think for them to, because they want to go. They want to go this year.
If they want
to go
in the playoffs. I think he's the guy.
I think you start your QB, then you're really not trying to compete for the division this year. And the Seahawks were criticized up until this point for their tapering off every game, like a strong first half, weak second half kind of thing. And that was the opposite in this particular game. They had a slow start and then finished strong. So they're learning their lessons, I guess, and correcting some things.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the Niners are something to build on.
Yeah.
It's one of those conversations of you don't need to be a Super Bowl winner every week to be a team that we're focused on and can give some attention to. They're a team that I'm looking forward to seeing grow.
Right.
Especially because you talked about running backs and wide receivers being, you know, versatile and having a cornucopia of, you know, options.
Yeah.
that's a testament to coaching in the system that they run.
I love that we get a Niners commentary and we talk about the Seahawks instead.
Can we just talk about the fact that you said cornucopia?
Cornucopia.
I love that word.
Speaking of cornucopia, corn on the cob, Randall Cobb is back.
Just ridiculous.
Let's go to our next shout out. We have from Jamie Hasselhoff, my brother at Jamie Hasselhoff on Twitter. I'm going to need some way too early Super Bowl picks from you guys. We did MVP a couple weeks ago, so we'll hold off on that request from Jamie, but let's hear your guys' way too early Super Bowl picks.
Way too early.
Way too early. I'm going to go Bills over Cardinals. And probably not stick by that. Do I have to commit to that?
No.
If I had to pick it today, I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, those were the two teams that looked the strongest yesterday.
That's fair.
They looked dominant. The Bills look like the team to beat in the AFC. Cardinals look like the team to beat in the NFC.
When the season started, I wanted Titans-Rams. I wanted a rematch of the greatest show. But I don't know if the Titans are up to it this year. So
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to take Browns versus Rams. Rams over Browns.
Man. Ooh, I'm nice. So bummed you picked the Browns. I got Browns and America's team.
Yeah, the boys.
No way.
Boys.
Come on.
Cowboys.
You think the Cowboys can keep up with the other top NFC teams? You think they could beat the Rams? You think they could beat the Packers? They can beat Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals. I guess there are no other good teams in the NFC.
That's why I said it, Kyle. next question we got out there. Most surprising quarterback so far through the season. Jamie listed his as Sam Darnold, a.k.a. the next Michael Vick.
Surprising in a good way?
Surprising in a good way.
Sam Darnold is a good one. I think he's kind of having a revival there. But I would say if he stays healthy, it's kind of hard to know because I can't remember what quarter he went out, but Teddy Bridgewater was actually doing fairly well for Denver for a start there. So I was actually kind of hoping that he would kind of find his groove back because I loved watching him in Minnesota. He was really good over there. He got injured and he kind of was a shadow of him for himself and he kind of bounced around.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping to see him revival. I don't know.
Revive me.
Yeah.
But I was hoping to see him kind of bounce back. And he seemed like he was doing it. I'm hoping he does. I don't know what that injury looks like, though, for him.
Sure. Yeah. I would have to go with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys remember when he was the highest paid person in football, you know, some years ago? I think he just remembered, too, because he's playing like it currently.
Do you remember 3 months ago when he was going to be traded for Aaron Rodgers? And nobody's talking about that anymore. That's a crazy thought to think.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah,
I think that my pick for most surprising quarterback is Burrow. I think he's played better than what I thought he would be, especially coming off of an injury.
Okay.
A guy who's never was hurt in college, never was hurt in high school, and to be hurt in the NFL and come back, that was pretty surprising.
Because he got his right-hand man back. That's why. That's why
I got to be in the room where it happens. So
you know who's gonna? That'd be a question. Who's gonna win Comeback Player of the Year? Is it gonna be
Burrow,
or is it gonna be Dak?
Is it gonna be Stafford from being comeback onto a team that's good? And the final question we have on here is: would you rather have Fields, obviously with a limited sample size, or Hurts?
Hurts, duh.
Ian,
I think I would take Fields.
What'd you take?
This is tough. I think I'd take Fields.
Okay.
Just based on him having the jersey number one. I think that's a great number for a quarterback.
Okay. Number one.
Do you have to take the team that they're with?
I don't know. I think
take Fields without Nagy.
Yeah, I would take Fields without Chicago.
Right.
I can understand that. And in our last, one of our next comments comes from my other brother from my same mother, at Tommy Heslaw. At slooch.daily.bread, calling the Raiders frauds last week. And as of a half into it, he's correct. But they are storming their way back.
14-21.
Yep. We have ourselves a ball game. So, Tommy, you are not giving your flowers yet. We'll let you know at the end of this podcast when you are finished with this if you have your flowers or not.
I hope the Raiders aren't, though, because I love John Gruden, and I would really love to see him be successful with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they're not, but I am equally as concerned about them, though.
Yeah, there's reason to be concerned. If you've ever watched Raiders in the past, you should be concerned. We got some tweets from Mike Hale. He is from Chicago, and we had conversations before about the Bears, and I asked him what he thought of yesterday. And he said, with Bill Lazor calling plays, it was night and day, and I was impressed how accurate Fields was on some of the longer passes. That's not something we've seen from the Bears in a long time.
That's you know,
true. Maybe didn't actually say Lazor was playing, calling the plays.
Look, can we just say for a second here, the Lions secondary makes anyone look good.
Yeah.
That is, I don't think that it's because the Bears are amazing and Fields is amazing. I think it's the Lions secondary is just bad.
Yeah. I think maybe that can be a point for yesterday, but it is, I mean, based on the sample size that they've had together on the sideline, 28 points per or 26 points per game when Lazor calls plays, 18 points per game when Nagy is calling plays. 8 points, is, that's a lot in NFL terms.
It is.
Especially going 18 to 26. So I look at that and say, go Lazor, all right? Mm-hmm. You could potentially be the replacement coach after they fire Nagy week 10 after getting, you know, beat by some 0-13 team on week 10, if that's possible.
Sure, sure. All right. Interesting. Thanks for chiming in, Michael, and everybody else who had something to share with us this week.
Yeah, and don't forget, we want to hear from teams throughout all of this NFL. We want to hear somebody from every single team. Tweet us at point after NFL.
Is there a team great. We haven't, like, I'm curious, what team would you most want to hear talk, like, to have us talk about?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't talk about the Packers enough, probably.
We don't talk about the Steelers.
We don't.
Or the Jets.
We just talked about the Jets.
I don't think we've talked about the Bills hardly at all.
Listen, we haven't talked about the Falcons.
That right. actually is
that
true.
That is true. Have they actually. Even
Arthur
come
Smith
up once?
Looks like a vampire.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Come on.
I'm never going to be able to look at him the same.
Yeah. We're gonna do a new bit in this show today.
New bitty.
Yeah, and we try to mix things up. We try to make the show different every time. So we came up with a new segment. The segment is called Yawnversations. Yawn like a yawn, but like versations like a conversation. You get it? It's a play on words.
You're so clever. Yeah. You're so clever.
Misa think you are funny.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a conversation is something which gets talked a lot about, but bores you. You in particular, you are like done with this conversation. It could be a player, coach, rivalry, team, storyline, take, comparison, you name it. Something that is very commonly discussed or brought up, but doesn't interest you personally at all. So we each made a top five list of our yawnversations across the league. The combos we are personally done with. Who wants to go first?
I can start.
Okay, go.
You know, I'm going to fall asleep talking about them. So I'll start with my number five. Okay. This one, if you've ever watched the Lions play, you have heard this conversation at least half a billion times. There's actually a drinking game about when this starts. It's the Stafford and Kershaw connection. The sheer amount of times.
Do they know each other?
Oh, gosh. The sheer amount of times that any prime time, Chris Collinsworth, I think, is the worst about it because he had nothing to talk about with the Lions forever. I'm pretty sure that's all it was. And he would just start talking about, did you know that Stafford and Kershaw went to the same high school in Texas together? They played sports together. I heard this stupid conversation forever. And that's now so they're funny. In L.A. together. Oh, this is so fantastic. Shut up. I'm so done with it.
Oh, that's so perfect.
We and got random. The point, you know?
Yeah.
My next one would be mock drafts and draft grades.
Draft grades.
I've already seen mock drafts. We're in week 5, and I've already seen mock drafts, which is the stupidest thing I've ever.
Kidding?
I'm not even joking. I hate that. It's so dumb. And then draft grades, it's the off season. I can kind of understand the draft grades because you got nothing else to talk about, so you have to do something. But I think it's not fair to start grading players before, you know, you've even seen them play. My number three pick was anything Cowboys, which is ironic because I'm pretty sure Marshall just wanted to talk about the Cowboys because
we America's team.
I hate the Cowboys.
Shut up.
The biggest reason, I got nothing wrong with talking about the Cowboys when they're relevant. It's when they're not relevant that they have no business being in the conversation. They were week two, maybe three, and ESPN's already talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. Shut up.
Yeah.
No, get that nonsense out of here. They got to earn that conversation. They have not done that. So go. I don't want to talk about the Cowboys anymore.
Yeah.
Another one is the when will Brady retire? And oh, Brady is 44. It's Brady Age Watch. We get it. He's old and he's still playing. Right. But, you know, he hasn't slowed down. There's an argument to be made. He's playing better now than he was when he was in his 20s.
Right.
So he's clearly still healthy. He's already said he wants to play as long as he is capable of competing at that level. Let him. Mm-hmm. He loves the sport. Let him do what he does. If you want to be tired about Brady, I get it. He's been playing for a long time, but he's there. He exists. Let's deal with it. The last thing is player rankings. Which is ironic because when we were starting to have a conversation about Lamar a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
we had a whole
Elite.
Thing. Yes. We had a whole conversation about, wait, is he top 10? Where would you put Lamar Jackson? And I got stressed out trying to figure out what I would do with him because I had no idea, because I think it's incredibly hard to rank players.
Yeah, true.
Because, and I think the biggest reason is because of circumstances. No one was talking about Stafford for the last 10 years of his career, and then all of a sudden he's on the Rams, and now all of a sudden he's an MVP candidate. Like, he was always good. Why did we have to act like he was bad? It's because he was on an irrelevant team. I get that. So I just think it's hard to talk about, you know, player rankings in comparison because I think, you know, circumstances. That's all I got. I'm taking up too much time.
Yeah. Those are some good takes. I mean, some good ones. Not that sleepy. Marshall, do you want to go?
Oh, okay.
Be short and sweet right here. All right. My number five, I just dislike the below average quarterback talk. I don't like talking about Kirk Cousins and Teddy Bridgewater and
Steady Teddy
teams that are in the middle. It's boring to me. Number four, can't count. It's been a long day. Monday, Moderna. Tom Brady's good. Okay, I get it. I don't need to go anymore. I don't need to talk 50 minutes about how great he is, about how he's had two Hall of Fame quarterback careers, you know, and I'm just so sick of it. Number three, Deshaun Watson. Okay, he's a scumbag. We all know it. We don't need to keep talking about it. Especially every other week when they're like, should the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
You know, we get it. The Dolphins suck. They need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear them talk about Deshaun Watson. Now it's, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to go to the Dolphins? That's what I heard today. Oh, is Aaron Rodgers going to the Dolphins with all those pieces and all those picks? No. Number two, Kirk Cousins. Number one. Sorry, I'm not saying anything else about it. I'm not saying anything else.
I refuse. He just gets two spots.
Yep. Kirk Cousins is really, I just don't like him. Number one, I hate the people, the ref screwed us guy. And sorry,
Ian. I find that personally offensive.
It's just been something that for me is so, I've always joked with my friends growing up when we would have games where it'd be like Notre Dame versus Michigan. And then they say, well, the ref screwed us. And that's why Michigan lost. And I'm like, gosh, I just thought that was such a cheap cop-out for an argument. And I just think that that's lazy. And it really just bores me when I hear it. So not a shot at the Lions. More just a shot at people who are ignorant and don't want to actually, like, research why they think their team screwed up or why they think their team sucks. So those are my snore fests. I'm going to go take a nap during your segment, Kyle. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Come on, show some respect. Yeah, but okay. Good ones, Marshall. I'll share my top five yawnversations. Conversations I'm truly done with. And my number five is the trickiest one here that I almost didn't include on this list because I don't want it to be misconstrued, but I am not bored by this conversation. I want to be crystal clear about that. It's not on my list because I am not interested in the topic. This is on my list because I consider this matter settled. Personally, the NFL, so this topic is kneeling for the anthem and the NFL's subsequent social justice focus. And the NFL was forced to pick a side when all of that played out now 5 years ago. Is that right?
Oh, man. man, it feels like it was last year.
Almost. I know. So the NFL was forced to pick a side, though it was done clumsily and shamefully slow. It has, I think, landed on the right side of history. And if you are someone who is still whining about Colin Kaepernick's actions as though he was out of line, you're on the wrong side of history. Done. If you have a problem with players wearing end racism labels on their helmets, then I am literally not interested in any conversation with you. In fact, I want you to stop listening to this podcast and go listen to something else that will help open up your closed mind instead. I personally am encouraged by what I'm seeing. I'm really thrilled by the Jay-Z partnership with the NFL, leading to the first ever hip-hop Super Bowl halftime show. It's huge. Makes me incredibly happy. First time I've been excited about a halftime
Guess
show in ages.
Guess who's back?
Back again. Yeah.
Shady's back.
This is great. You know, like, there's never been a hip-hop. Like, Nelly and P. Diddy appeared in a halftime show, but there's, like, never been any rap artists otherwise making a meaningful appearance in a halftime show. Now, it's awesome. So I want to reiterate, the topic of social justice and the league's handling of such matters is so important. It's not a conversation by any means. But what I'm saying is, anyone raising the question of whether Cap was right or wrong doesn't get the time of day from me. That combo is dead. Cap was right. And everyone has moved forward. If you disagree, it's time that you did too. Dear NFL, history has its eyes on you.
Oh, another Hamley.
Yeah. Hamilton. All right. My number four, I'm done with the whole was it Brady or was it Belichick conversation. It's kind of pointless. We've seen a lot of different teams win Super Bowls with different combos of great pieces. The Patriots had a great coach and a great quarterback. Those are probably the two most important pieces. Together, they won 6 in 20 years. It would not have been 6 without that combo. Let's stop with that kind of useless conversation. Number three, I'm bored by, as we've talked about before, the overemphasis on rookie quarterbacks. They're interesting, I'll grant. It's interesting to follow the rookie quarterbacks and see how they progress and see who's going to turn into something in the future. But we're talking about them a little bit too much because none of them are on contending teams. We're just watching them develop for the future. Okay? Okay? Number two, I'm also quite bored and actually, frankly, quite annoyed at times by super meaningless stats. This is a really interesting era that we're in with all these statistics being thrown out. And for the sake of conversation, I guess, was we're watching these games or listening to sports media after the fact, there's all these narratives that are invented based on totally inconsequential, goofy statistics like, oh, Kirk Cousins is 0-9 on Monday nights. What does this mean? Can he win on Mondays? Like, this is a dumb conversation. Or Belichick has a 21-6 record against rookie quarterbacks. Like, that's a dumb conversation too, I contest. Because rookie quarterbacks they suck and their teams suck and everybody has a winning record against them. And why are we talking about this? Enough with, like, these invented narratives based on meaningless trends.
13-0 at home, by the way, against rookies. Go ahead, Kyle.
Great. You beat the worst consistently. I should hope so. Then number one, Dallas Cowboys.
America's team.
Number one. That's my number one. If you turn on sports talk shows throughout the year, when it is time for the NFL to be discussed, 50% of the time will be spent on the Cowboys and 50% on the rest of the league. Every time. That's regardless, as Ian said, regardless of how good the Cowboys are. Even in their bad years, this is our reality. As football fans, we get to know all the details about everything happening with this one team, and then 31 other teams get the remaining time. That's it. Shut up about the freaking Cowboys.
I agree.
I'm done. End of this segment.
I love that you're a man waving, just wagging his finger at the sky. Stop talking about them Cowboys. I swear, if you keep talking about it, I'm going to go crazy.
I love a description someone once said about, like, the NFL. And he said, you want to know what the NFL is? It's a soap opera for dudes. And the Cowboys are like they're the star.
Yeah. They are.
Literally.
Well, let's get to our section about picks. You know, the picks are why we did this in the first place. It started off as just us trying to escape from our lives on Sundays to gambling, to not getting Kyle his prize because he doesn't actually want it. He just wants to hold it over us that he won last year. Let's look at the leaderboards this week. Without Monday Night Football results, Kyle, 13 points this week. Myself, 9 points. And Ian, 8 points.
That's right. But I want to go on record. I'm, you know, it's 49 to 36 to 41, but I got something that no one else has right now.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm the only one who is currently alive in the Survivor pool. I have not picked that game wrong. Oh, yeah, I just want to say
true fact.
I just want to say that right now.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I get a stake.
Maybe we should have allotted extra points for that.
I
but
feel
we
like we should add them retroactively too.
Yeah, people that are in last place definitely want the things that would make them better.
As
you're right.
You know, this hurts. It's the Lions in me, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I need some more.
We
MCDC.
All picked the Lions yesterday.
I know. Hurts, all three of us. I thought they'd be so much better.
Well, let's get to our first group of picks for us. Our anti-red zone game of the week. I only watch football on the red zone. What game this week would be most likely to turn you off of the red zone and watch just this game solo from beginning to end?
Be good.
Who did you take?
I got the Browns and Chargers. Obviously, earlier I talked about Browns are my Super Bowl pick. They're a team that hasn't clicked 100%, and look at them.
Yeah.
They're 3-1. They're a couple plays away from beating the Chiefs to start the season. Mm-hmm. So I look at that, and that's pretty scary. One thing that I'm really keeping an eye on with the Browns, and I'm curious to see how they do against the Chargers, because the Chargers, I feel like their secondary has played well against the Raiders for the first half, and consequently they played really well against the Chiefs. I'm curious to see how the Browns can get Odell out. This is his second week back in after being injured last year.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Baker throwing passes within, 100 feet of his catch radius.
Well, I don't think that this is a Baker or an Odell thing. I think it's water and oil. I just don't know if these two players go together. I'll be very interested. I would be willing to bet money that I don't think Odell will be a Brown by the end of the trade deadline, because I think that Baker Mayfield's a player who needs to go through his progressions when he's throwing and when he's out there playing. And when he has Odell out there, it's, you know, the data shows he
it's
typically
Odell
throws it to Odell. So
yeah.
I think I'd be more curious to see what the team would be like without him.
That's interesting when that happens, when you take like a star receiver. Because that happened with the Lions when they lost Calvin Johnson. They actually did better.
Somehow Galladay got discovered.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you take these star receivers out, what happens to teams. They actually are forced to spread the ball around and you find some hidden gems out there. So
yeah.
I agree.
We don't necessarily know what would happen if
stars
were on these teams. That's why I always enjoy the Carmelo Anthony take of, what if they drafted him instead of Darko Milicic to the Pistons when they won the championship? Well, I don't know if they would have won the championship if Carmelo was on their team, but that's my anti-red zone game of the week. Kyle, how about yourself?
I'm going Cards, Niners. You know it. You saw it coming. This is a big-time divisional game. I always like to choose divisional games. Arizona is trying to make the most of their hot start. They keep playing like this. I mean, they'll be able to afford to slow down later in the season because they are smoking. But the Niners just lost two straight, both of which they feel like they should have won. They felt like they should have won yesterday, and they should have beaten the Packers too. They're a better team than their record suggests. This is a showdown with consequences between teams that do matter. I look forward to these teams looking each other in the eye and no higher and summoning all the courage they require.
Interesting you say the Niners, who might be forced to start what's that, a rookie quarterback?
You're interested in a rookie quarterback? Kyle, don't let him respond. Ian, your anti-red zone game of the week.
I'm picking the Chiefs versus Bills.
Wow, what a shocker.
Oh. Well, okay.
Yawn.
Any game right now with the Chiefs is a absolute shootout.
Let's see some points on the board.
Every single game. They have. I don't know how the Chiefs are going to keep this up. They are putting way too much points up. This, to me, is a high-octane offense versus a high-octane defense. Because the Bills' defense has shut out two teams now. Isn't it something like that? Did they shut out?
The Dolphins?
The Dolphins? They shut out the Dolphins? I thought they shut out yesterday, too.
Yeah, they did. They shut out
35-0 against the Dolphins.
And 40-0 against
the
Texans.
Yeah, they have shut out two teams.
A great stat line from that quarterback for the Texans. 1-for-7, 3 yards, and 2 interceptions. He had more interceptions than he did completions. And ridiculous. Almost more interceptions than yards.
That's incredible.
That's at halftime. That was crazy.
How many teams have played a two-game stretch and outscored their opponents 75-0?
They're scoring a ton of points, which is interesting because Josh Allen hasn't looked great, but that defense has looked so good. So I think this is going to be it's going to be a fun game to watch because I think, you're going to have big defense versus big offense. I think Buffalo's going to win it, too.
In point totals for the Chiefs, we have 71, 54, and 72.
Yeah. How could you not want to watch this game?
What do you think the over-under is on points between Bills and Chiefs? Any guesses?
It's got to be, it's got to be like 65.
Like 100.
56.5.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Hammer the over, boys. Hammer the over.
Yeah, that's going to be a high-scoring game,
I think. We shall see. This game feels to me like the scales have balanced a little bit, and if Buffalo ekes out a win here, they tip. They decisively tip in Buffalo's favor as they are the team to beat in the AFC, if not the league.
I like that. I like it. I agree.
The Chiefs could reclaim that. If the Chiefs win, they come back and they say, shut up, everybody. We're still the Chiefs. We're in charge here. But if Buffalo takes that, like, they are the team.
Yeah. I just think Buffalo's a little bit more of a complete team right now.
They're playing like it.
Right now.
Man, they're playing like it.
Speaking of complete teams, let's get to our lock picks of the week. The picks that we're locking it in. Get your Drew Lock, turn it, let's go.
Yeah.
For me, I got my favorite team in the world, America's team.
This is so dumb.
Now I'm just going to do it just to start pissing people off room.
This is where the
we
show
will
starts to get
talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah, we're going to push buttons until we end up hanging up this show after week 12.
I will say that I was really impressed with Danny Dimes. it's one of those weird situations with Judge as a coach for the Giants. He's got a quarterback on his team. But he might get fired. It's one of those weird systems that they got. But I do like the steps that the Giants are taking forward, but I just don't think that they're ready to take on that high-octane offense for Dallas.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they have the pieces to hold up. So I got Dallas over the Giants as my lock pick of the week. How about yourself, Ian?
Good one.
I'm taking Bucks over Fins. I keep getting burned on my locks, and I thought Tennessee would be solid for me. I'm about to pull a Giants on them too and start picking against them on every game. But I'm taking the Bucks over the Fins. I feel like I need to pick a reliable team. In Brady, I trust, which is, means this is going to go poorly for me. So come on, Brady. You get the yawn out of here.
There's another yawn conversation.
He's talking about Brady.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, it's just really late at night. But I'm going to give my guarantee to the Ravens over the Colts. Yeah, that's any taking down Lamar and company, that would be unimaginable. The end.
Yeah, that's great. Let's get to our upsets.
That was very intense.
Yeah.
Very intense. Now, this is where we kind of like to get a little spice, a spicy meatball.
Yeah.
We get our upset pick of the week, okay? I'm going with...
This is your upset.
Yeah, come on.
It's such a pitiful upset.
Great. Come
on. All right, let's get to my actual pick before you guys start laughing. I got JETS, Jets, over the Falcons.
Just two awful teams.
Truthfully, that's the only way I've been doing good on my upset picks is I just pick two really shitty teams, and then I just say, who's less shitty? And that's when I picked the Jets. I feel like the Jets actually played a pretty good game yesterday. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple of throws from Zach Wilson that was like, if that guy gets some protection, they could be. I mean, that's some.
He
that's
could be
something
worth
to build
talking
off
about.
He could be a rookie quarterback that won yesterday. After you said the rookie quarterbacks suck, and they most of them played great yesterday.
Yeah,
Kyle, give us your pick for upset of the week, Mr. Rookie Quarterback. I hope you don't pick a guy with a rookie quarterback as the winner of the game coming up. Go ahead, Kyle.
Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Tell us more.
Hey, I'm going Jags over Titans. I think that Tennessee is imploding. Their offensive injuries are in very disappointing D are taking them out of contention incredibly fast. Jacksonville is improving just a little teeny weeny bit every single week.
Yellow polka dot bikini.
They are young, scrappy, and hungry. And I really believe deep down, aside from the storylines for these two teams and their strengths and weaknesses, that after this week, our hometown team is going to be the only winless club in the league.
That is rude.
Yeah, but it's true. I guarantee it.
And that's your upset pick of the week for Kyle. How about yourself, Ian?
I'm going the football team over the Saints.
Which football team?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm taking Washington over the Saints, which is not a statement I thought I would be making. But I like Heinicke. Give me a Heineken for Heinicke.
There you go.
I love it. This guy's been pretty good football. They're kind of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that they're going to be pretty competitive in this game. The Saints have been riding a little bit of a struggle bus. I don't feel like they know what to do to be consistent.
Yeah.
And I think that's their biggest problem. They're not consistent.
True.
And I think this could be a potential upset for the footballs.
The footballs.
I like that. Let's move on to our Survivor pick of the week. I'm going to go with something similar that Ian talked about in his lock of the week. I got Tampa over Miami. But I have it for different reasons. And I want to talk about kind of your team you just gave for your upset and my Survivor pick as well. With Miami and Washington, two teams last year that were very great defenses. Great. I say that great. Not good. They were great defenses.
Hmm.
They were teams that relied on a lot of turnovers. And they were teams that won a lot of close games. I think that in the NFL, that's a very hard statistic to continue. It's hard to win close games. That's hard to measure whether a team is good or not based on close games, because games are decided based on inches. Just ask the loud doink that happened last. And that was the loudest doink.
Another week, another doink.
That was the loudest doink I've ever heard in my life. Can we agree to that? If we can somehow get that sound put into this podcast, I would love. I would love to. So I look at the Miami Dolphins and the Washington football team as two teams that last year, defenses, you'd be scared to play them. You would guarantee two turnovers playing against them. And now, no. I think that they're a shell of themselves. I think that Washington has had the doors broken off them the last 2 weeks. And Miami can't even put together a team.
That's true.
Like, it's not just Tua. So my Survivor pick, Tampa Bay over Miami. Kyle, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Washington's defense has been so disappointing. It really was hyped. The expectations were high.
Chase Young.
Yeah. What's the deal? Montez Sweat? My Survivor pick is Vikings over Lions. I really think Detroit is outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, outplanned.
You think you're being clever right now? You're going to take Cousins?
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah.
Ian just mad because he's got Washington on his side in the upset pick.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ooh, it must be nice.
It is nice. Let me tell you.
Ian, how about yourself for Survivor pick of the week?
I got my faith in the Pats over the Texans. Mac looked pretty good in that game against Tampa. And the defense for New England looked really solid.
19 straight completions is incredible.
Is that a meaningless stat to you? I don't know anymore.
You guys are just picking on me now.
But I think this is a team that this feels like a really comfortable pick to me. Texans have been struggling since they lost Tyrod. Mills is he's windmilling somewhere. I don't know what he's doing.
What?
I don't know. He's having some issues, but I like Pats here. That's all I got.
I was impressed with Mac Jones, but I will say that the Buccaneers defense was an absolute shambles yesterday in terms of lack of cornerbacks. They had Richard Sherman on the team, who was signed on Wednesday starting.
Yeah.
They lost to two cornerbacks in the middle of the game. So credit to Mac Jones for playing in a tough weather, Sunday Night Football, the emotions of having Tom Brady back in New England. But I will discredit that, and that's just something I'm not going to hang my hat on in terms of, well, Mac Jones is a great quarterback because did you see what he did to Tampa Bay?
I wouldn't say he was a great quarterback. He just looked good, and they relied on him. They barely ran the ball.
Yeah, it's true.
It was almost – and in the rain, I don't know. I mean, he's looked decent. He's looked solid. He's looked serviceable in all the games thus far. Mm. So,
right.
And he's going up against a bad team, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that concludes our picks. We're doing pretty good, you guys, 4 weeks in. Now, as we wrap it up, just let's revisit this topic because we got a minute here. We got a couple of minutes. Let's go back to the topic of what is at stake. And there might be some listeners here who are a little bit fed up with this conversation and just screaming at us to decide already. Maybe you're skipping to the next podcast in your feed because you're done with this chat. Because, come on, you guys. How come we can't decide? Like, what is the big deal? Let's just make up our minds.
I have already given my vote of an actual stake.
All right.
Mostly because I know I'm going to lose. I've been getting pretty depressed as the weeks go on of my current record.
Hang in but, there, buddy.
It's so sad.
At least you have Survivor.
You're a survivor.
The moment I lose that Survivor, though, I'm gonna be in shambles.
It's gonna have got nothing left. I can't wait for.
What do I do with?
Can't wait for the Texans to win this week. It's gonna be great.
What is?
You know, for me, I'll look at it. I'll be honest with you. I'm willing to side with Ian. I think that in terms of just punniness, I enjoy stakes being the stake.
Okay, that's fine.
I think that all of us enjoy stakes. We should put a Veritas stake on it.
A Veritas stake? You can get steak at Veritas?
That's the only thing I get when I go there.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Except for the last time when they told me.
It's like a seafood restaurant.
They told me there wasn't a New York strip. Then I tried to negotiate, get $10 off of the other steak, and they didn't have it. I was pretty upset.
Yeah. Okay.
Steak. All right.
I'll give their steak a try. Yeah. The commish, Adam Silver, thinks that the loser should get a tattoo of the winner's choice.
I don't know if I like that idea.
Listen, my body, my choice, Adam.
Yeah.
All right.
Or the loser takes the commish to lunch.
Because what's going to
happen?
Which
would be
fine,
except he's in North Carolina.
Is Kyle's just going to make me get a Packers tattoo on my butt cheek? And I'm going to be disappointed in that.
And it would be like Randall Cobb eating a corn on a cob. That would be the tattoo.
Because Cobb's back.
He's back.
He is back, baby. Two touchdowns.
Cobb is back.
So the winner gets does the winner get two steaks? Or are you the two losers splitting the cost?
Yeah, we're splitting the cost of a steak.
Ian and I work at Catholic schools, all right? We can't be, you know.
What do you think I got?
So just win.
Shut up, Kyle.
One of us can get your steak and the other one can get you a bottle of wine.
What does the loser have to do?
Marshall's over here like, what are you doing to me?
I love it. Audibly upset with it. No, I don't agree to that.
I never said what kind of wine. It could be barefoot.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get the wine. Deal.
Well, No.
For those of you that can't see the video of our house right now, my house, Ian just shook my hand.
Let the
record show.
We have a gentleman's agreement.
Thank you. I have the barefoot wine.
So what does the loser have to do? Oh, so is there a shame loser stakes or anything? Or are we just doing just the stake?
I think we should address loser stake when we get to playoffs.
Ooh, that sounds...
I think loser will be playoff. So I think playoffs, we're playing not to lose more than to win in the playoffs. So
okay, there's an idea.
That's what I think we should do.
Last year, when we did this just for between ourselves, we like started a whole new, we reset and did our playoff picks, just like we did the regular season with a new wager.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I won the playoffs, didn't I?
No,
or did
I
you win? Oh,
I
that's
won.
Right.
I won both.
Awkward.
You're so cool over there.
No, I won.
Just don't kick me out, you guys.
He's the best around.
Nothing's ever gonna bring me back.
I don't know what he says there.
On the bus.
Yeah. All right. Is okay. that everything?
That's it. Yeah. All
right, well, thank you guys for being with us, being our loyal listeners.
We love
those
you.
Those of you that are at the very end of this pod.
Yeah. As Ian would say, our loyal viewers.
We appreciate you the most at the end of this pod.
You send listen us a, with your ears.
Yes. Send us a tweet at PointAfterNFL. Send us your take. Send us your questions. Send us your team. We want to hear from you. I'm sick of reaching out to the same few people.
Yeah.
So I honestly, love those people.
No, it's true. It's true.
I want to hear
you
some
don't even have to have
there.
A take. Don't feel pressure to have a take. Just be like, Bengals. And we'll talk more about the Bengals.
How about the Bengals?
And don't be afraid to share us with your friends. You know, it doesn't have to be just you just getting, you know, listening to our voices.
Sharing
Let
is
people
caring.
Know. Yeah. Mm.
That's true.
You guys
send
know
it to
more
your,
people.
Send it to your knitting club. Knitting yeah. club. You know? Yeah.
Knitting?
Yeah. Knit me a sweater.
Right.
Could be okay. a steak. All right.
All right. That's it. We're out.
Right. Bye.